Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
James chapter 5 verse 14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Hallelujah. Now, we have been speaking on the subject of the prayer of faith, and I intend for us to continue today. James said that the prayer of faith saves the sick, and that's what else raises up the sick person who was bedridden. Thank you. The sick person who was bedridden, and then it also involves forgiveness of sins. We said that the prayer of faith is one that is used to get all that Jesus Christ has gotten for us. So if you want something in your life and you believe that Jesus Christ has gotten that thing already for you, in fact, directly gotten it for you by his sacrifice on the cross, then you have to use the prayer of faith. Okay? So the prayer of faith is a type of prayer. There are seven types of prayer. And if you don't use the right type of prayer for the right situation, you will get results, but the results may be very little. You know, the results may be like insignificant. And you will struggle too much. It's unnecessary to struggle too much when it comes to God's things. You know, anytime you are struggling too much, you must know that you are not using the right weapon or the right tool. Okay, for example, if I am to cut this tree, you know, it's a very big tree. If I use table knife to cut it, you see that table knife is a knife. But if I'm using it to cut this tree, because it's a very big tree, you know, strong, it goes up into the skies. I may be able to cut the tree, but guess the kind of struggles I will go through. You see that I will try, but my results will be very, very little, okay? But on the other hand, if I use the right type of knife, because there are types of knife, beginning from jackknife, you know jackknife, the one that you put in your body, you know, some of it is like an opener, you know, and it's a knife, but it's an opener, and the blade is folded inside, you know. So if I take a jackknife, it's a knife. If I take a table knife that we use for eating, it's a knife. If I take the kitchen one that we use to cut meat and chicken and all that, it's a knife. Now, if I take a cutlass, the one we use to weed outside, it's also a type of knife. You know, it's only a big knife, on and on and on and on. Now, I have to know what type of knife to use at what time, for what situation, to get what results. Because if I say all knife is knife, all prayer is prayer, and I go and take a jackknife or a table knife to cut a tree, then I will not get more results. That is why the Bible ended by saying that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, it makes more results available to you. But if you don't use the right type of knife, you are not going to be effective, and you will not have much results being made available by God for you. The sad part sometimes is that because we take it that all prayer is prayer, you know, the most important thing is that you humble yourself, come before God, and you tell him something. You cry, you do whatever, and all that. The unfortunate thing is that If you think like that, and if you operate your life like that, you have very little results in your life. You see very long periods of prayer or long sessions of prayer, or more efforts in your prayer, but very little to go home with. Very little results that comes from it. And actually, do you know what is happening? You are actually wasting your time. If you are cutting a tree, outdoor tree, very big tree with a table knife, to be honest, somebody can look at you and say, well, it's good. It's a spiritual activity. You are praying. You are cutting down the tree. The tree is the works of the devil. But actually, another person can look at it and say, my friend, you are wasting time. Hallelujah. You better get the right type of prayer to do what? So, prayer is in types. And the Bible tells us about a type of prayer called the prayer of faith. And tells us three things that it can do. It can save, okay? It can raise somebody who is bedridden with sickness. And then it also involves forgiveness of sins. It says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. All by the prayer of faith. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, these three things are things that Jesus Christ directly got for us by his sacrifice on the cross. Directly. There are other things that Jesus Christ got for us indirectly. But Jesus got some things directly for us. I can list about 10 of them or so. First of all, by the cross, he took our poverty and gave us his prosperity. Number two, he took our sickness and gave us his health. Number three, he took our sins and gave us his righteousness and forgiveness. Number four, he took our disgrace and disfavor and gave us his grace and favor. Number five, he took our punishment for sin and gave us his freedom from punishment of sin. Number six, he took our curses and gave us his blessings, as in the blessing of Abraham. Number seven, he took our troubles and confusion and gave us his peace. Number eight, he took our imperfections and gave us his perfections. Number nine, he took our marital troubles, and gave us his marital coordination. Gave us marital coordination or marital blessings. And then finally, he took our disobedience. It's a type of sin anyway, but he took our disobedience and our doubt and gave us his obedience. So these are things that Jesus Christ directly got for us. And I want us to look quickly at some features of the prayer of faith. Features of the prayer of faith, about five of them also. We want to look at them and then we shall move on. The first feature or characteristic of the prayer of faith is that it is a prayer for Jesus' provisions in an all-inclusive or cluster form. It is a prayer for the provision of what Jesus Christ did for us in a cluster form or in an all-inclusive form. So all the things that I've enumerated, 10 of them or so, I have told you about that Jesus directly got for us. They are what you use a prayer of faith to get. You get it for yourself, okay? If you read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says that, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. So Paul says that there are some things that accompany salvation. It goes with salvation. Okay, accompany means that it's a friend of salvation. It's friendly with salvation. Salvation is talking about being born again, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and accepting him into your heart. That is when you get saved. You have salvation. Now, the Bible says that there are things that accompany salvation. In other words, those things are friends of salvation. Okay, unfortunately, what we have done is to think that, well, if you are saved, you are saved. And that is wonderful. That is good. And there are certain things that doesn't go with being saved. Should I give you an example? Let me give you an example. People say, for example, or people think, sometimes by their attitude and their the way they look at those things, they don't believe that it accompanies salvation. But Jesus Christ saved us from sin. And what else did he do? He took our poverty and gave us his prosperity. But you see, you can have a certain attitude in your life where you think, you may not say it, or you may not say it, but you think that, in fact, being saved and having prosperity, they don't go together. They don't go together. We feel that if you are born again or you are a believer, fine. You must think about going to heaven. Don't have anything to do with things that will bring you prosperity. Do you understand? We have that kind of understanding. We have that kind of unspoken, philosophy that, a believer is a believer. The church must not think about any type of investment. The church must only think about getting people's sins forgiven. And if you are a believer, you are a good believer, you are a good man of God, you must not have anything to do with something that will bring you another income. Because if you do that, you see, those things and salvation, they are not friendly. They don't accompany it. I mean, they are not companions. But the Bible says that there are things that are friendly. They are friends of salvation. Do you want to be alone? No, I don't think you want to be alone in this world. That is why God created Adam and Eve, so that he said it is not good for the man to be alone. So similarly, you don't want to be alone in this world. That is why you have got friends, people that can come to you. They may not exactly be like you. They may not look like you, but they are your friends. Some of them may be the opposite sex. They don't look like you in any way, but they are your friends. Hallelujah. Isn't it true that all of us, we have friends who are not the same sex? Yes, we have. Why not? God says that there are some things that are friends of salvation. They are not enemies. They are not coming to undermine your salvation. They are not coming to antagonize your salvation. You get it? They are not coming to do that. They are coming to uphold your salvation. They are going to make your salvation more expressive where you are on this earth. Hallelujah. So Jesus says that, God says that Jesus has gotten some things for us. 10 of them I have enumerated to you, and they are not enemies of one another. Do you know how sometimes we also think? We think that, well, you should have one without the other. I mean, the 10 which is there, have one. So somebody will say that, look, you can have a very wonderful marriage. A very wonderful marriage. Marital coordination. You can have it. But you may not have what? The money that goes with it. Have you heard wisdom like that? What is important is that you love your spouse. And people think that you can have a wonderful marriage and then somebody to have money. Have you heard that wisdom before? That the person has money, he doesn't have a wonderful marriage, and yours is money, mine is wonderful marriage without money. You understand? With a lot of love, but without money. And the other person's is, a lot of favor. He has got a lot of favor, you know, but he is sick. You know, sometimes he says that, well, you see, some people, they are healthy, and that is your blessing. God has given you health. He has not given you money. You know, he has given you health without money. And so we say sometimes that, oh, let's thank God. Let's thank God that we have health. That is what we have. It's wonderful. But I tell you what, it is not God's will that we just have one of the things that Jesus Christ got for us directly. And then we comfort ourselves that, oh, okay, I may not have money, but I have health. And then the rich man says that, well, me, I've got money, but I may be diabetic. I may have high blood pressure, or I may have some very serious disease, fibroid and all that. But I have a nice business. So what God has given me is business and he has not given me health. It is not so. These things are to be in a cluster. When I say a cluster, I'm talking about, you see how grapes is. Grapes is one fruit, but you see, it is in a cluster form. In other words, you take grapes and you see that there are a lot of grapes on it. You know, single, plenty. You see that it is on it. That is how God's blessings are.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
You know, what Jesus Christ has gotten for us, that's how it is. You take one and you can't say that I can take health, not prosperity. I can take favor, because if you have favor, it's more than money. And so you shouldn't have money. You just have favor. When you go, people dash you things. You continue to receive free things. You will see what will happen to you. You will see that you don't have to just go in for things which are free out of favor. Software easy and all that. Or, you are a very good person. Let me give you. There are times that you have to say, no, I'm going to pay for it. It is good for you. It is very, very good for you that we always have a balance. Hallelujah. And not just take one thing and say, that me, I live by the favor of God, the favor of Jesus Christ that he gave me and took my shame. He gave me his grace and took my shame and all that. I don't need any other thing. That's the first thing I want us to know, that the prayer of faith is used to gotten things in a cluster form. You know, so by the prayer of faith, the man in James, bedridden man in James chapter 5 was saved. He was healed and he was forgiven. That's powerful. That's cluster. That's cluster. That is all the blessings of Jesus Christ. Of course, he cannot enumerate everything in the book of James, but it's giving you a picture for you to know that there are things that accompany salvation. All that Jesus Christ has gotten for us, we must get them. We must make use of them. Hallelujah. There are people who take one thing about Jesus, they don't take the other thing. They are not comfortable with some things. You know, they believe that Jesus saves from sin. But as for Jesus prospering them, no, they are choosy. They pick the things that Jesus said. They choose one and then they say, this one, we don't like it. Because when you choose this one, salvation, and you are talking about these things, I mean, it is some way. They don't go together. Ladies and gentlemen, we must know from today that what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, they may be 10, they may be 12, they may be 7, they may be 6. Choose a number, whatever you categorize, you know, but they are all interlinked. They are all friends of each other. They are all companions of each other. What we must understand is that it is only God who can bring all these things together in our lives. So we go by the word of the Lord by which we can get these things, and then we get them. The problem comes in when you try to go outside the word of God to try and get some other thing that accompanies salvation. When you get outside the word of God, you circumvent, you lie, you cheat people to get some things. That thing has not got foundation. And by all means, it is going to come down. You're going to lose that thing, you know. You're going to lose it because you didn't use the proper channel to get it. Don't use that to say that, well, you see, if you are saved, that is it. If you're a Christian, that is it. You don't go into other areas of life because they are not friendly to the Bible. They are not friendly to Christ. They are not friendly to your sins being forgiven. They are, ladies and gentlemen. It is when we are doing it our own way that we get into trouble and then we lose them. I'll handle it in details as we take some of these things one after the other. But for now, I want us to understand that you cannot choose Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. And God said that when you kill the lamb, eat everything, including the ones that you don't have the appetite for. He named three of them. He said the head, the legs, and the entrail. He says, eat everything. Israel, eat everything. The lamb is wholesome. Whatever thing, he is food. You eat everything. Israel, do you like the head of a goat? No, you don't like it, because even the liquid that is coming from the eyes, when you look at it, you lose appetite. But God said, look, as for Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, when you roast, he says roast him. And when the pus is coming from his eyes, he says eat everything. And the legs, he says eat everything. I have to emphasize this, ladies and gentlemen, because we live in a society that people kind of segregate good things. Now, this one is good. This one belongs to you. This one is good, but it doesn't belong to you. They are not friends with each other. Jesus says that he is altogether palatable. We must eat everything. So the first feature of the prayer of faith is that you use it to get everything that Jesus Christ got for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Good. The second feature of the prayer of faith is that in the prayer of faith, you plead your case. Anytime you are trying to get what Jesus directly got for us on the cross, which I've enumerated to you, you need to plead your case. You need to plead your case. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you are praying for your healing, you need to plead your case. When you are praying for prosperity, plead your case. Hallelujah. Whatever thing Jesus got for you, if you find it in yourself to pray for it, you have to plead your case for it. Don't just ask God. Plead your case. What does it mean to plead your case? To plead your case means to bring an argument before God. Bring an argument before God. Bring your case before God. For example, you are praying for your healing. You make a case before God that, Lord, I thank you, depending on how you pray. You can pray, for example, Lord, I thank you that I am healed already by the stripes of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. I am already healed because Jesus Christ was beaten for me to be healed. Do you know what you have done? You have pled your case. Your case is that somebody took your sickness away. So you go to God and you make that case. Do you know the person who took your sickness away? His name is called Jesus Christ. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then verse number 30 to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 to 31. How do you plead your case? In the New Testament, how do you plead your case? You know, in the Old Testament, you see that people plead their case. If you read especially the book of Psalms, you see that people like David, he will plead his case. You say, for example, that Lord, in the integrity of my hand have I done this. You say that Lord, look at the cleanliness of my hands and grant my requests. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go before God in the New Testament, it is not your works that you parade before God. It is not what you have done well that you parade before God. It is what Jesus Christ has done for you that you parade before God. That is how you plead your case. You plead your case using what Jesus has done for you, because all that Jesus Christ did for you has been credited to your account. So you can look into your account and say that, Lord, look at this. Because of Jesus Christ, these things have been done by me, and I am entitled to your healing. I am entitled to Jesus's prosperity, to have this situation of need in my life turned around because of what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 to 31 says that, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Please underline became. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in who? The Lord. Hallelujah. Says that Jesus has become some things for us so that we can glory in those things. You can glory in the fact that you are wise. You can glory in the fact that you are righteous. You can glory in the fact that you have redemption, you've been healed. You can glory in the fact that you are holy. The word translated, Jesus became our sanctification, is the same word translated, holy. Jesus became our holiness. Hallelujah. So you go to God and you tell him that, Lord, I am holy because of Jesus. And I come to you because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I come to you. You don't go parading your own righteousness as happens in the Old Testament. You don't go and say things like, if I be a man of God, let something happen to you. Do you understand that? How many people have said, if I be a man of God, let something happen to you, and nothing has happened to the person? No, it's true. You see, because we don't come to God, you know, especially when it involves the prayer of faith, prayer to get the things that Jesus has directly gotten for us. We don't come to him pleading on our own works, our own how we come to church early, how you are a good Christian. As for you, you haven't done any sin in this world before and all that. No, you don't do that. You go pleading on who? Jesus, who is your holiness. He says that he became, not he will become. Or when you live well, then he has become. He said he became. He's talking about on the cross. He became for us your holiness. He became your righteousness. He became your salvation. He became your wisdom. He became whatever thing. Whatever thing. If you look at the scripture, look at the scripture. Look at that scripture. You see that it enumerates wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. You see a dash in most of your scriptures. In other words, I mean, that's not the end of it. You can continue with all the things that Jesus Christ directly got for us on the cross. He became it for us. So that what? So that we will plead our case when we go before God. Do you know why it is necessary to plead your case? For example, you are praying that God will bless your finances and all that. You can say, Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you give me money and you prosper me and things like that. You can pray like that too. Listen, that is not how to pray the prayer of faith. The way to pray the prayer of faith is to rope Jesus Christ into it and let God know that the basis on which you are coming is because on the cross, Jesus took your poverty. He was made poor for you so that you will become rich. Is it necessary to mention? Yes, it is necessary to mention. Or I should say, it is necessary to be conscious of Jesus all the time. It will help you. You don't go parade your own righteousness. Me, I work hard in my workplace. Even I was judged the best worker. And Lord, because of that, and you know me, I take care of my children. Lord, you know that me, even the prayer, I'm a prayer leader. I'm a pastor, branch pastor. I'm this, I give my life to you and all that. No, that is not how you do it all. I'm teaching you how to be effective so that more things, more results, more riches, more blessings will be made available to you. Not just scanty one. Hallelujah. We always have to remember the cross. That is our foundation. That is the solid rock on which we stand. Anything that you get not based upon the cross, the solid rock is sinking sand, and that thing, the world system can take it away. You can have it, but it will leave you. Do you know why? Because it is not born of God. It is born by hard work. It is born by education. It is born by your own wisdom that you attribute to yourself. You don't have that foundation of Jesus is my wisdom. Lord, because of that, I have wisdom to administer this business, to do this, to do that, to do that. You are not conscious of that. Hallelujah. A way to pray the prayer of faith is always to plead your case. Is it necessary? Very necessary. As you mentioned that Jesus was made a curse for you on the cross, your mind shifts from yourself to Jesus. Anything that focuses you on you, any prayer, anything that makes you more self-conscious, is sinking sand. Anything that makes you Jesus conscious is solid rock. That's the kingdom way of doing it.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on.